new private security force will hit the streets here in downtown Raleigh starting next week in an effort to improve safety here. I'll tell you what else is on the table as the city works to fight a rising crime in the heart of downtown.
Then, the drug to help prevent your child from catching RSV is getting harder to find. Which patients the CDC is now telling doctors to prioritize as cases rise.
Temperatures from the 30s to the 80s. When we could swing to record-breaking warmth and our first look at our Halloween forecast.
Raleigh's putting more eyes and ears on the streets as the city combats an increase in crime downtown. Good evening. I'm Dan Haggerty.
And I'm Ashley Rowe. This week, businesses are being trained on a new security camera network. Next week, the first of two private security forces will begin patrols.
The city is also talking about ending fare-free bus service, which some people point to as a contributing problem around the transit station. WRL's Matt Tallhelm finds out what progress city leaders are making on improving safety downtown.
Raleigh police have already increased their presence here in downtown since early September. Business owners and city leaders say that's really helped reduce crime here. Now they are looking for some long-term solutions.
The flashing blue lights of police cruisers have become too common of a sight in parts of downtown Raleigh since the start of the year.
What happened that instigated this?
So city leaders are searching for answers to that question as they begin to work on solutions to combat the rise in crime.
These are complex issues, and with the complexity, you know, we've had the conversations, but now we need action.
City Council's Safe, Vibrant, and Healthy Community Committee is considering recommendations to respond to the safety threats downtown. They're working with Wake County to get help faster to people experiencing homelessness or a mental health crisis.
We've never really had a system of care for behavioral health that this community deserves, right? And so there are now people at the table who are like, we can do better and we should do better.
The Downtown Raleigh Alliance is creating a network of public and private security cameras that police could tap into quicker when a crime happens. The DRA is also hiring private unarmed security to patrol from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week. And the city plans to hire a separate private security force for the Go Raleigh Transit Station. The decision to allow them to carry guns raised questions from some city councilors and community members.
You don't need security. You don't need it, and I object to it.
They were not willing to provide the service if their personnel were not able to be armed.
The Downtown Raleigh Alliance says this needs to be just the beginning of making downtown safer for people who live, work, and visit here.
We need a long-term plan for securing downtown so that we don't end up in the situation we got to.
It's not just here in the downtown business district. The city is also working on some recommendations to improve safety in the Glenwood South nightlife district. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
So the committee has asked the city staff to come back. They want a list of specific recommendations and take a look at those next month. Then they'll narrow down which options for the entire city council to then consider.
A homicide investigation in Durham. I'm Mark Boyle in the Live Center with some new video in to show you right now. This is where this is happening, off of Liberty Street near the intersection of Long Meadow Park. Sky 5 flew over the scene. Crime scene techs. You see them right there around that white van. Investigators are telling us that there was a man unconscious and not breathing when they arrived. He was involved in some type of physical altercation with somebody else, taken to the hospital, later died. No arrests indicated in this press release from Durham Police. We will follow this developing story as it breaks right now. Back to you.
Mark, thank you. Here's another story you probably saw in the Live Center earlier today. We can tell you that parts of Western Boulevard near NC State have reopened after a deadly crash this afternoon. This was just terrible. The scene earlier today, four cars involved in this wreck. NC State did confirm that a person died. We know that person is not a student. WRL is still working to learn what led up to the crash. At 10 and 11, we'll hear from the driver in the accident who walked away unharmed.
Downtown Raleigh will be a regional transportation hub once a new bus facility is complete. The Raleigh Union Station bus facility broke ground today at the corner of West and Martin Streets. The project will connect forms of transportation from biking and walking to bus services and the future bus rapid transit and rail projects. Plus, developers also have plans to transform the area around the facility. They're calling it Union West, with apartments, a private parking garage, and a plaza for shopping and dining.
But the city's growing so fast, we really need projects like these and others in order to keep the city going and facilitate its growth.
They expect the bus station to be finished in 2025 and the development around it to be done about a year or two later.
As cases of RSV continue to rise, the CDC is telling healthcare providers to limit their use of a shot designed to prevent the infection. They're now advising care providers not only to give this drug to infants at the highest risk of developing RSV. This is a preventative one-dose shot that may provide protection during the RSV season. The drug company said that it is working closely with its manufacturing partners to accelerate additional supply.
A brand new WRAL documentary, Ghosts in the Stadium, examines the complicated history at four iconic football stadiums in the Carolinas. WRAL investigative documentary reporter Kristen Severance produced the doc. It's hosted by Chris Lee. Kristen interviewed Chris about the project.
I'm joined now with WRAL anchor Chris Lee, host of our brand new documentary, Ghosts in the Stadium. Mm-hmm. Chris, this is finally, you know, going to be released, you know, to the world after we've worked on this for months now. Why don't you start by explaining, you know, why you started even looking into, you know, the history of these stadiums?
I think the one that really started it off was last year, October 1st. I was going down to Clemson with Pat Welter to cover this big North Carolina State at Clemson game. And as I was going into the stadium in the media entrance, I looked to my right and I see this placard that said that this is the burial ground of former enslaved people, and there were no markings. And so when I got inside, I wanted to look into it a little bit more and saw that the school just publicly acknowledged it was there just a year before that. So I wanted to know a little bit more, and I felt like this needed more than just a minute and 30 package.
Right.
Yeah.
It stuck with you. Mm-hmm. And then you started looking into these other stadiums, right?
Yeah, I already knew about Bank of America Stadium. I've been covering the Panthers for a while here and at my previous job. So I knew about what was happening there. And then I read Wilmington's Lie by David Zucchino. And I knew a little bit more from that book about William Rand Keenan, who Keenan Memorial Stadium was named after originally. And I didn't know that before. And so once I knew about those three stadiums, I had to talk to Heather Leah here, who's our resident historian, does the WRL Hidden History. And then she told me about Carter Finley Stadium. And that solidified for me that there needs to be more about this whole thing. And there's a discussion that needs to happen.
Definitely. And I'm so glad you pitched it as a documentary because, you know, connecting all of them and researching all of these sites, I learned so much. Yeah. You are from North Carolina. You learned so much.
Yes.
What do you hope, you know, people walk away with after watching this?
At the end of the day, I want more discussions to happen. We're in an interesting time right now in our society where a lot of people are running away from history because they're afraid to feel bad or to make others feel bad. Mm-hmm. And I think that's not the way to kind of go about things, right? Like, we all understand that we weren't around for what happened back in the day. But what happened back hundreds of years ago does impact how our communities look today. Mm-hmm. So if we could talk about these things, if we can understand what's happening with that and how it impacts today, maybe we can make a better future for our kids.
Right. And every historian, every professor we interviewed said the same thing. Let's talk about it because it's true. It happened.
Yes.
Hope you all can watch. Ghosts in the Stadium airs Wednesday night at 7:30 right here on WRAL.
Kristen and Chris, a great collaboration.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be so interesting.
Tomorrow,
I can't wait to watch it.
Yeah, right after this newscast tomorrow night. A Durham man just hit it big in the lottery, winning a $2 million scratch-off, and now he's hoping to buy his daughter a house.
After the break, we're going in-depth on just how much you can actually afford with those winnings when you consider the housing market in North Carolina.
Plus, Durham is looking to improve and expand affordable housing options in the city, how it's planning to use tools in its back pocket to get it all done. Hey, Kat.
A few golfers left out there tonight at Pinehurst Resort and Country Club, just getting the last glimmer of light here putting. We've got some fabulous golf weather on the way this week. I'll let you know how long temperatures will be in the mid-80s ahead.
Welcome back. Ah, the lottery. Some call it a dream. Others call it a hidden tax on the poor that disproportionately adversely affects lower income families by preying on their circumstances with the lure of a Hail Mary to solve their financial hardships. But I digress. Let's not let that bring us down. Instead, let's talk about the house that we'd buy if we won the jackpot and go in depth. So, even though you do technically have a greater chance of being wrongly convicted of a crime than winning most lotteries, the latter gets a whole lot more attention with fun shows like My Lottery Dream Home, starring a guy who looks like me hosting First Night Raleigh after fully committing to a Tony Stark Halloween costume. This guy helps people spend their winnings on a home that they have dreamt about, hence the title. Now, he might actually get a call from a local winner. That's because yesterday we got a press release from the North Carolina Lottery telling us a guy named Neil Becker from Durham walked into a store on Hillsborough Road on Friday, bought a scratch-off ticket, and walked out a millionaire. Sort of a millionaire. See, the scratch-off ticket, that was for $2 million. But for some reason, when you take the lump sum, you get less. If you know why, let me know. Which he did, by the way. That left him with $1.2 million. Then they took out taxes as well, left him in the end with about 43% of that big pot of money, which was about $855K. Not bad. Now, Neil told the lottery folks that he was going to use this winning to buy his daughter a house, which put a big smile on my face, and it got us all thinking about how expensive homes are right now. So let's look at what a $2 million scratch-off can actually buy you. Now, Neil could go outside of the city, over into Orange County, and get this 3,000-square-foot home and over an acre of land near Eno River State Park, which is beautiful. But if Neil's daughter wants to be a little bit closer to downtown near the action, it's going to be a bit more pricey. She's going to get just 897 square feet, less than 1,000 square feet in prime real estate, though, a brand new single-bedroom condo. Over in Raleigh, she could buy this place. If they take the cash offer, it's a little higher than what they can afford with the cash, but it's an apartment, a duplex. It's big, though, near downtown. It has a Grand Quartz Waterfall Island, which I don't know what that is, but it sounds really nice. Is that quartz? It's Grand Quartz. Maybe Neil's daughter has a bunch of kids, big family. We don't know about that. She could buy this house. It's a little older on Pool Road, has 11 bedrooms, although the seller, they've listed it as a teardown, calling it an investment opportunity for someone who wants to expand their portfolio. Who doesn't? They're all great places. That said, if Neil had scratched off his ticket about 10 or so years earlier, he could have bought most of those houses twice. Seriously, we checked the tax records, and lots of those homes have more than doubled in value, in part because of cash buyers like Neil. During the summer, one in three home buyers were paying all cash. Most people in their 50s and 60s who had already paid off their loans years ago and sold their homes for huge profits, leaving them with a lot of cash on hand, or hedge funds, which have been buying up single-family homes all over the country. You see, as you know, mortgage rates are really high right now. They just hit a 23-year high. And that has regular buyers, the 20% down kind of folks, pretty spooked because they don't want to overpay. And the spookiest thing is that these high interest rates are supposed to help avoid you from overpaying by bringing prices down, but they aren't, which had journalists asking, why isn't the housing market behaving the way it's supposed to? A question we now have some answers to. There are a few factors in this. One, all the people who bought their homes with the interest rates in the twos and threes and fours, they don't want to sell. So inventory is low. People don't want to sell and then lose that great rate. Second, with interest rates so high right now, like over 8%, companies are a bit reluctant to build a bunch of new homes. So it's really an issue with supply and demand. There's lots of demand, but there are no homes to buy. And the only people willing to sell want to make a killing. So prices have stayed high, which means if interest rates do start to come down, demand is just going to shoot up even higher. And inventory will still be low, so prices will shoot up even higher. So Neil, take your cash, beat the rush, get your girl the lottery dream home of her dreams. Everybody else, start scratching. Let me know what you think about housing or the lottery or anything. You can email me at dan@wrl.com. We didn't even get a chance to mention, Ashley, that Neil is also wanting to buy a car for his friend with these winnings. And I don't know if you know this, but the average cost of a new car right now, $50,000 with a $730 monthly payment. Gas is more expensive, electricity, groceries. The state fair, hot dogs were like 10 bucks. Netflix is $23 a month now. What are they doing? They think that the average cost of a Christmas tree this year is going to be over $100 for a tree they chopped down in the woods. I'm going to stop.
Please
I'm
stop.
Done.
Please.
I'm done.
Please stop.
I'm done.
I'm going to be eating ramen for the rest of the
year,
all right?
Cup of noodles.
All right. Hey, the city of Durham identified more than a dozen vacant city-owned plots that could serve as new affordable housing developments. We could use that after Dan's segment there. The city is asking nonprofits to submit plans to build on those lots. Russ Pierce is the executive director of housing for New Hope. He says having that space to build will make a difference.
Many organizations have the leadership and expertise they need to develop new properties. Many can identify resources to get that building done. But finding land is a huge challenge here in Durham at this point.
The city may provide up to $100,000 per unit to assist with development and construction costs. The deadline for nonprofits to submit plans is late November.
Hey, let's take a live look at White Lake.
Beautiful.
I mean, let's adjust the focus a bit, but you know what? I'm there for it nonetheless.
It's really the sunset we're here for.
Gorgeous colors moving through the water up into the skyline. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now. This is such a beautiful time of year, but it can get a little strange when you're trying to predict temperatures.
Oh, yeah. We've got lots of ups and downs in the forecast over the next week. I did want to show you Durham out at the DBAP tonight looking very funky, not something we're used to seeing this time of year, but they are gearing up for Woolly Bull's Winter Wonderland. Some of the lights they're testing out there tonight, so looking forward to seeing it when it's all done. Not feeling much like winter weather this week, though. Check out these temperatures. Our normal high climatology came in today at 70, and we're going to be well above that number, about 15 degrees above normal as we get into the weekend. 78 tomorrow, 80 start Thursday, and last all the way through early next week. Saturday, 85, coming within a degree of the record of 86. Sunday's record, 83, so we think we'll break the record on Sunday. Let's talk about this big warm-up that we have in store, though. We've got this big ridge of high pressure. High pressure will be situated right over South Carolina and Georgia. The jet stream lifting well to our north up into Canada. And we've got this flow of warmer air from the southwest. High pressure also is sinking air, so it's going to prevent the air from rising. And when the air rises, it forms the clouds and rain. So we've got a really dry pattern for us and a warm pattern. Our temperature maps are going to be the same color as the leaves this time of year. And I do want to show you our WRAL Weather Watcher photo today. This is along the Blue Ridge Parkway in a popular area called Rough Ridge, looking vibrant and beautiful. No photo editing to this photo. I had a friend send it to me. Absolutely beautiful out west today. And boy, it felt pretty chilly this morning compared to those mid-80s on the way later this week. Here's our low temperatures. I wanted to mention this because Roxboro got down to freezing. Sanford, Southern Pines got down to 33. 38 was the low at RDU, 36 in Roxboro. We did not see a widespread freeze anywhere for the National Weather Service to end the growing season. But tonight, not as chilly. We're going to be in the 40s for most of us tonight. Low temperatures, not out of the question. We could have a couple of upper 30s in our more rural areas, but we're not expecting any frost tonight. And tomorrow, we're warming right back up. 77 in Roxboro. You woke up to freezing this morning. You're going to be 77 near 80 tomorrow afternoon. 78 in the Triangle in Rocky Mount and 80 for Southern Pines, Fayetteville, and Clinton tomorrow. Should end up being an absolutely beautiful day. Make sure that the kids are dressed in layers, though. 46 at 8 a.m. at the bus stop. Upper 60s by noon and mid to upper 70s throughout the afternoon. Our 7-day forecast is looking very warm. 80s for the bulk of the forecast. 5 days in a row with high temperatures in the 80s at the end of October coming up. Our low temperatures are going to be climbing into the 50s and even 60 degrees by the weekend. And then Halloween, all eyes on Tuesday. Cooler temperatures on the way as a cold front moves in. Could bring a few showers. It doesn't look like a soaking rain right now, but we're going to be working to figure out the timing in the coming days so we can really pinpoint the trick-or-treating forecast we've got to cover.
What a drop there in temperatures.
I know, 85 for a couple of days beforehand.
Yeah.
Man, Kat, thank you.
In 229 days, the U.S. Open returns to Pinehurst, and the excitement is already building.
Who's counting, you know? After the break, a look at the preps being done to make sure everything is ready to go for First Tee. Looking live at Pinehurst. Pretty nice.
Looks like twilight might have just wrapped up.
Yeah.
There's nobody out on the greens right now.
I would like to golf because it was the only time I would just be like, that was a good shot, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
There'd be no proof. Just 229 days. Number two will be chock full of people ready for the 124th U.S. Open.
Preparations for the tournament actually began years ago. One big change since that last U.S. Open was played in Pinehurst in 2014 is that the bent grass has been replaced with Bermuda grass. That makes maintenance a bit easier during the hot summer months. One thing that hasn't changed, though, is the economic impact the U.S. Open will have on Moore and surrounding counties during tournament week.
We are also scheduled for four additional championships going forward, and the cumulative economic impact of all of these championships is over $2 billion to not only here in Moore County, but obviously the greater state of North Carolina.
Yeah, you heard that right. By the way, the championship's return to Pinehurst marks the first time in more than a century that a USGA has awarded four opens to a single site in 25 years. You can watch this year's U.S. Open at Pinehurst right here on WRAL. So set your dial for 229 days
from today. Don't worry. We'll remind you about 50,000 times before then.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Hey, we're getting a glimpse of the statues that will be transformed into works of art for the Painted Ponies Art Walk in Moore County.
These are beautiful. These are really cool. Check these out. Obviously, those ones haven't been painted yet, but this is the Carolina Horse Park. Posted these. 16 horses will be painted by various artists and then positioned along Broad Street in Southern Pines. These ponies will be on display from January through March and then auctioned off to benefit the horse park. Yeah, as
There's
we just take
one.
A look at a couple that have
wow.
been completed. Right, aren't those fantastic?
Oh yeah, that's
really
incredible.
Pretty.
Another thing that's incredible is this light show that's going to be coming to the DBAP less than a month until the Durham Bulls Athletic Park is transformed into Woolley's Winter Wonderland.
A live look, so they're getting the lights set up. Take the banner down. They got a couple of little...
There we go.
Yeah, so they're starting to put up the little, you know, the tunnel, the light tunnel and stuff like that. Looks cool. But Woolley's Wonderland opens November 22nd, runs through the 31st. It's going to be really fun for the whole family. Hope you can make it down. You can buy tickets online right now.
Thanks for joining us.
Have a great night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.